It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, your host, for this second bit of coverage of My Struggle 3. This is our second day of coverage, and today we're talking about Agent Dana Scully and what she goes through in the Season 11 premiere. I'm joined again by Andrew Blaker, so it's good to have you still on this ride with me, Andrew, and this is going to be an interesting conversation, I think.
It is. There's a lot to talk about with Scully this episode. A lot.
There really is. And I think we should get the elephant out of the room pretty fast, shouldn't we, really? I think let's deal head on with the big thing, the big one. In that she, unfortunately, has gone through the smoking man's, shall we say, abuse yet again.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, he is, well, according to him, he is William's biological father. I mean... Wow. Where do you stand on this one, Andrew?
Well, I think we should put out a disclaimer that we obviously most everyone hates this and has had at least had a very strong reaction to the final minutes of the episode. I was surprised that he went there, honestly, but I do want to point out that it's kept quite vague. He does say, "I am William's father." How exactly that happened, we don't know. The exact method, I mean to say. But no matter what happened, I mean, it's definitely gotten a lot of reaction, and people really cannot believe that we're still playing this game this late in the game, I think. Who's the daddy? So it's kind of, there's been reactions about anger that we're still doing the who's the daddy game, and then of course, rightly so, there's outrage that, that she was violated in this way and that it's being portrayed in this way.
I think, you know, obviously the big fact is that the timing of this, I mean, more than anything else, I mean, obviously, and, you know, I've written a review about this, which some of you may have read at this point, but one of the things that, you know, I bring up in that review is that this is a very sensitive time in terms of abuse of people in power, in terms of, particularly towards women, and, you know, specifically in the entertainment industry, but going beyond that, you know, but it's a difficult time to deal with this, and it's why it's a surprise. I feel like probably certain people listening and certain people who've read my views on this think perhaps that I'm not as sensitive to this as I should be, and I think we will talk more about this in a later podcast, but I think one of the things with this I appreciate is, A, I think it's a brave move to do this to Scully, but B, it's not something that hasn't already been done in a way, in that consistently throughout the entire show, Scully has been manipulated and abused in terms of her reproductive abilities, all the way from the beginning, you know, all the way from when she was abducted in season 2 through to the, you know, her ovum being extracted, through to, you know, the sudden pregnancy, through to the, which appears to have now been triggered during the events of NME in season 7. And then through to, you know, the questions or whether or not William was, you know, bioengineered as some sort of super soldier baby, or, you know, all of these things. And it's not a new thing, essentially, that's happened to Scully. It's just, it's been couched in much less sensitive terms, I think, this time around, you know, with the very on the nose suggestion that the smoking man may have sexually taken advantage of her, which I don't necessarily think is true. And I'm not saying everyone thinks that either. I'm saying that I think the way it has been worked into a storyline that was quite, it was essentially about smoking man's weird sort of protective slash romantic slash, you know, odd relationship with Scully. NME is a weird little episode in a way. And I think I like it a lot, but I think it's a strange little episode. To actually put this massive revelation attached to that is, I think, what a lot of people are struggling with.
Yes, you're right. I don't think you can... I think a lot of it comes down to timing. If this revelation had been at the end of My Struggle 2, I wonder what the reaction would have been. I think it's impossible to remove this from the quote-unquote real world, that everything that's going on out there right now. But I do agree with you in terms of, strictly from a narrative storytelling point of view, I find it personally frustrating that because I see Chris Carter for so many years as having dodged actually coming out and saying Mulder and Scully's child, and a lot of people feel that way too. So there's that angle of it, but I do say, and what to your point about Scully being, you know, manipulated and abused by men in power, by authority figures from the very beginning, you know, you're right. And this is just another instance of that. In that sense, it's kind of piloted on, perhaps, for her as her character. But yeah, I think in terms of the narrative, it does something really interesting by calling back to the original series, an episode that's not a very popular, well-known one, but kind of planting this huge revelation back in the original series and kind of seeing what happens. I think it's a really very, very bold move on Chris Carter's part, for sure.
It really is, really. And I think, you know, there's the big question marks now that a lot of fans are asking as to whether or not this is one of the reasons why Gillian Anderson is leaving. You know, and I mean, it makes you wonder. You know, I mean, it could have been that she just turned around and went, oh, you are joking, not again. Seriously? But then, I mean, I don't think that's the main reason at all. I think there's a separation that people are struggling to do with this, in separating away from their devotion and love for Scully as a character, and what Chris Carter is trying to do. And we'll talk more about that later. But I think that separation is understandably very difficult for a lot of people. And that's where I get it. And you know, it wasn't something they needed to do, you know, at all. You didn't have to do this. The story wasn't heading that way at all. He's thrown a curveball, a massive, massive curveball that now puts everything into question again. And I think that is something that, you know, I suppose the best way to put it is Scully didn't deserve this, but that doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean it's bad drama. That doesn't mean it's a bad storytelling choice. If anything, there is an argument that the more you throw at characters, the better your drama will be. And I would say that's one of the reasons why I think My Struggle 3 is probably the best of the struggles yet. It's got a lot of problems. It's got a lot of storytelling problems. It's got a lot of execution problems. Like those bloody monologues, for a start, we mentioned before. But yeah. I think it's for the fact it's got this stuff in there, I think it's worthy, and I think it has a lot of brave choices, specifically around Scully.
Yeah, no, you're right. I completely agree. I definitely, like I said, I've only viewed it once. I'm looking forward to viewing it again either tonight or tomorrow. But from my first reaction, I think it is stronger than My Struggle and My Struggle 2. There are still problems, absolutely, and kind of expected that going in. But it does correct a few of the issues for me that were so glaringly present in season 10.
Well, I mean, one of the big things it does, obviously, is find a way to introduce William in a quite interesting fashion. And
yeah,
obviously, you know, as we discussed in the previous episode, we find out that Scully had the vision of My Struggle 2, and it was all in her mind's eye, essentially, and the vision was given to her by William. Now, this isn't something I said in the previous podcast. This was something I thought was potentially the work of, like, Mr. Y and Erica and that, whatever they are, whoever they are. So for it to be William actually giving her these visions, I mean, what do you think about that, Andrew? Do you think that that's a good, you know, way of introducing the character?
I think it is. It kind of reinforces the whole maternal mother-son bond. My first reaction, though, was kind of thinking, okay, seemingly this psychic sort of bond between Scully and William comes out of nowhere. I mean, it wasn't present in I Want to Believe. So it kind of, to me, I wanted to know what was the impetus for all of a sudden these psychic visions occurring. And we're never going to get an answer to that. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. But, you know, again, if you can get past that first thing, I do think it's kind of an interesting way to bring up the character through Scully seeing him, you know, not knowing at all what he looks like, where he is, or anything at all about him. But knowing that something's not right, she's not quite sure how to explain it even to Mulder. But I thought that was a pretty intriguing way of introducing him, because I don't think there is going to be a very easy, clear way to introduce William. You know, when you last saw him, he was given up as a baby. He could literally be anywhere. I mean, unless you have two whole Myth Arc episodes with them combing through adoption files, you're probably not going to see. you need some sort of, you know, big dramatic gesture to get them on his path, and I think that's what you got there.
Well, my instinct with the psychic link, just going back to that quickly, was that it could well be the fact that Scully has alien DNA, and that's not something that is negated by My Struggle 2 being a Vision. You know, that was something that was seeded in My Struggle, this idea that she maybe have alien DNA, and this, and you know, as Smoking Man and Monica talk about throughout this episode, Scully is one of the elite. She is one of those people who have this immunity to the Spartan virus, and that's the suggestion that she has this DNA, you know, active in her, that is a lot of people don't have. So I think it could be the simple fact that, you know, there's the biological element, and maybe it's, I mean, the big question is that I had all the way through is, what is causing William to do this? Now, from the flashes we see of him, to my mind, he doesn't know what's happening to him. And I think he's out of control. I think something's switched on in him, and this could be why they're after him, both sides of the coin, in that something has triggered in him that he's now, you know, these alien powers that may have been latent, you know, after remember, Spender gave him an injection of magnetite, which was supposed to actually negate these powers ultimately. And he said in William, he'll live a normal life. I injected him, he'll live a normal life. He'll never know. He'll be a normal baby with a normal family, whatever. But now it seems he has this psychic alien ability to potentially project an alternate timeline into Scully's head. So what has caused that? You know, and perhaps, you know, Spender will be able to help with the answers, because it was great to see him back. And I think, you know, it was interesting that he's clearly kept tabs on where William is, which I didn't expect either. So there's a few ways to look at this. Did you enjoy Spender coming back? Because I was surprised at how they did it, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, no, I was really happy when it wasn't ever actually confirmed, but there were rumors and sightings of him in Vancouver months ago, and I was really hoping that they would in fact bring him back, and that it would be for more than just one quick scene, which fortunately it was. But no, I love when they bring back old characters instead of inventing new ones, and I think we didn't get any closure with him in The Truth. I'm really anxious, though, to see how they're going to explain, if they're going to explain, what seems to be a facial transplant, very obvious scarring around his entire face, alien technology, seemingly what CSM also benefited from with, you know, the whole trach and everything like that. But I would like to see something made a little bit more explicit about, you know, hey, how does he look the way he looks, especially when he says he thinks his father's dead. He doesn't apparently, you know anything about his father.
It's a good question. I mean, I think there's a few production realities with this. I think the reason that they made Spender scarred in William in the first place was because they wanted to put that, you know, doubt in everyone's minds that it was Mulder. You know, I mean, William, I've talked about this in the Podwatch, William's a terrible episode. So that whole idea was ridiculous anyway. But so I think, you know, and obviously he had some of that scarring in The Truth, but I think they probably felt if they had Spender return with all that facial scarring, I think they might have worried that they would have had to try and explain some of that again. And I don't think they wanted to do that. And they just wanted to establish that Mulder and Spender are brothers, and Spender has been looking out for William, which is why we get, again, another element of symmetry. The scene in My Struggle 2 where Mulder is attacked at home and has a big skirmish is exactly what happens to Spender. It's the flip side of that whole thing, which I really like that. I thought that was really clever. Spender is essentially living in that role now, and it's just the difference is they know he knows where William is, or has been keeping tabs on William. Although, I did wonder about that, because wasn't William given up anonymously? And
well,
I didn't think Spender knew what happened to the baby after he gave him the injection.
Yeah. Now I know some people who would say that, you know, this is nothing more than Chris Carter trying to, you know, rewrite the past. And you know, okay, there's that. But this is actually, I really like the fact that Spender was brought in and that he's presented as an ally to Mulder and Scully. You know, In William, it starts off with handing the baby over to the Vandekamps, and it ends with a picture of him in his new home, Scully just talking to Reyes, saying, you know, I want to keep him safe, he deserves that. You don't get any conversation as to how she actually does the adoption process. You know, I find it very believable that Spender may have had a hand in the adoption process, at least finding out maybe through his connections at the FBI. You know, we're never going to get a full backstory on that, but to me, I like the fact, because, you know, he's an ally. There's symmetry there with, you know, him being in William back in season 9. So, I don't know. I find it very plausible that he would have been involved in the adoption process and that he may know a little bit about who adopted him and everything like that.
Yeah, I can buy it. I can buy it. I'm nitpicking slightly, but I can buy it. I think it's good to have him around. Hopefully he'll pop up in the finale as well. And I if I was a betting man, I'd suggest he might, actually.
I really hope so. That was something I was going to bring up in this. I really hope he is. My fear is that this was what we got with him and that, you know, whatever function they had for him, it's over and done with. I truly do hope we get to see him again, because I think there's more to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, in terms of what Scully goes through in this episode, you know, as we said at the end of our previous episode, she ends up having gone through these seizures, you know, having experienced these, you know, quite paranormal events. She comes out the back of it, you know, with a renewed vigor to find William, you know, and do it through the X-Files. And through, she says to Mulder, you know, the truth is still in the X-Files, which is, you know, which is great. And you know, it was interesting how, I don't think we mentioned this in the Mulder episode, that there's a scene where the doctor, quite a strange scene actually, where the doctor at the hospital actually says to Mulder, you know, I've encountered lots of supernatural people with, you know, latent sort of MK Ultra mind experiment kind of you know, things going on. I was thinking, what kind of hospital is this? How many of these people are you getting in? you know, but there's that clear tether with Scully now, that there's that psychic element that she can't deny. You know, as a skeptic, she can't deny that, really. And the fact it's so personal and so entangled with William, I think makes for a really good central arc for both of them. You know, those personal stakes and tethered to the mythology and everything going on, it's really personal for both Mulder and Scully now.
It was a great way to set it up. Now, I will say, you know, to add a little humor into it, I don't really think Chris Carter's too aware of how hospitals work. That was something that I... Well, you know, one of the things, I had a few friends over to watch My Struggle 3, and we rewatched My Struggle 2 from season 10. And in My Struggle, as a assisting surgeons, she comes out of every surgery with blood on her clothes, on her neck. They must have had a few squirters that week, but really, I mean, that doesn't really happen. I mean, it can happen, but it's not going to happen every day. I mean, that, I don't, anyway, that's a random aside, but yeah, your point's well taken.
Yeah, she's either involved neck deep in some really, really, you know, disgusting sort of operations, or she's a terrible doctor who just ends up killing most of her patients. Who knows? but it was Scully, obviously, is the linchpin of this entire story, and it'll be very interesting to see where this all goes, really. And we'll talk more about the you know, the repercussions of this and the details of what's happened to Scully in this episode. But in our next My Struggle 3 breakdowns, which will be coming the next couple of days. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow for a conversation discussing the villains of the piece, the Smoking Man, Monica Reyes. Can't believe I'm describing her as a villain of the piece, but there you go. We'll save it, Andrew. We'll get there. And somebody who's, you know, sort of maybe in the middle, on the fence, it's our old buddy Skinner, so we'll be talking about him as well. So join us tomorrow, guys, for our continued Season 11 coverage. But remember, as always, trust no one.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.